FM. Programming at WEFT is brought to you in part by Minuteman Press. For a few special invitations printed or thousands of full-color flyers, Minuteman Press can help get it done on time and in budget. They offer an extensive line of products as well as design services. Due to COVID-19, please contact Minuteman Press for safe ordering, pickup, and delivery options. Phone 217-355-0550. They're located at 905 South Neal Street in Champaign or champagneprinting.com. And now stay tuned for Disability Beat. This is Disability Beat, a public affairs program for and about people with disabilities. It's about social justice, community supports, inclusion, accessibility, freedom, and choice. My name is Vicki Nicewander, and I'm the host of this program and also the parent of a fantastic young woman with a disability.
The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors, associate station manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated.
Stay tuned for an interview with self-advocate John Porter and Nafia Lee, the Going Home Coalition Manager for the Arc of Illinois. They'll be talking about an upcoming online opportunity for advocacy. But first, disability news for the week of May 11th, 2020. With no official government tally, one group is working to identify how many people with disabilities have contracted or died from coronavirus while living in institutional homes. The Autistic Self-Advocacy Network has created an online tool that gathers data from local governments and media across the country. The numbers represent people with disabilities living in nursing homes, institutions, psychiatric hospitals, group homes, and other facilities. So far, the group estimates that there have been more than 18,000 deaths and an additional 90,000 people who have contracted COVID-19 in these settings. Some of the numbers, however, include cases among staff members. The organization said it's working to limit the tally to just residents with disabilities. Last month, the Trump administration instituted new rules requiring nursing homes to be more transparent with residents and families and report any cases of COVID-19 directly to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention amid outrage over the toll the virus has taken in these environments. Disability advocates have asked for similar steps to be mandated in settings where people with disabilities live, given the risks and the outbreaks that have occurred. A letter to federal health officials from the Long-Term Services and Supports Task Force of the Consortium for Citizens with Disabilities specifically cites outbreaks at an institution in Illinois where the National Guard had to be called in, as well as another in Massachusetts where nearly half of residents were infected. In addition, facilities for people with developmental disabilities in Utah, Texas, and New Jersey were identified. Coronavirus has also affected numerous group homes in New York, Maryland, New Jersey, and beyond, according to the letter. Even where data does exist, there are questions about how complete it is. Advocates with Disability Rights Louisiana independently reached out to staff at facilities in that state serving people with developmental disabilities. They found that the hospitalization rate of residents and staff from coronavirus was 3 times higher than what the state data showed. The group is now urging the state of Louisiana to consider mass testing of the entire population of people with developmental disabilities for the virus. Meanwhile, the Autistic Self-Advocacy Network's tracker notes that some states are reporting 0 cases or deaths, but that likely just means there is no data available. Disability advocates are alarmed that no visitor policies are forcing people with developmental disabilities, including those who are nonverbal, to go it alone at hospitals across the nation. Hospitals are limiting access to their facilities in an effort to slow the spread of COVID-19, but in many cases, there are no policies in place to ensure an exception for individuals with disabilities who require assistance. Tawna Szymanski is the executive director and legal director at Communication First, a national advocacy group focused on communication disabilities. Szymanski's group, along with others, filed a complaint last week with the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office for Civil Rights, alleging that recent guidance from the state of Connecticut violates the Americans with Disabilities Act and other laws. The recently issued state guidance said that a support person should be allowed to accompany people with intellectual and developmental disabilities who receive services from the state's Department of Developmental Services, but did not extend the same accommodation to others with similar needs who were not supported by the state agency. The Connecticut complaint is the first to be filed with the Office for Civil Rights since the coronavirus pandemic began, related to hospital visitor policies, advocates said. It is one of several efforts underway to ensure accommodations for those with disabilities who require hospitalization or for COVID-19 or otherwise. The American Academy of Developmental Medicine and Dentistry, which represents physicians and other health professionals who treat people with intellectual and developmental disabilities, has warned that barring support people for individuals in this population could lead to detrimental outcomes and is pushing all states to implement visitation policies that allow for a support person. An online petition the medical group spearheaded has more than 37,000 signatures. Meanwhile, the Consortium for Citizens with Disabilities, a coalition representing dozens of disability advocacy groups, has written letters signed by more than 100 local and national groups that advocates across the country can use to lobby their governors and hospital administrators. In addition, the National Down Syndrome Society has put together a document advising families on what to do if a hospital is denying visitors for a patient. With the COVID-19 pandemic increasing reliance on technology, Apple says it's rolling out extra help for people with disabilities using its products for remote learning and other purposes. Apple said last week it's introducing a dedicated support team to address accessibility questions, as well as a new support site and how-to videos focused on using those features. In addition, the company is now offering one-on-one virtual coaching sessions for students with disabilities and their teachers who are engaged in remote learning. The developments, which build on existing accessibility features within Apple products, come as social opportunities and education have largely moved online due to the coronavirus concerns. Apple said it also prominently features a curated collection of apps designed to address communication, fitness, gaming, and other interests for people with disabilities in its App Store. And in honor of Accessibility Awareness Month this May, the company will highlight films and television programs that include actors with disabilities on Apple TV. The specialized customer support for those with disabilities can be accessed through AppleCare by phone, online, and through chat. And finally, Leanne Mull from Blue Tower Solutions, along with self-advocates Richard Hollenbeck, Carl Nave, and Karen McCombs, are hosting weekly Zoom meetings for adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities. These 30-minute meetings are scheduled for 1:30 p.m. and 3 p.m. most Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. To get the Zoom link or more information, email Leanne Mull at leanneadvocacy@gmail.com. All are welcome. And that's the news for this week. You are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. I'm pleased to introduce you to two guests on the program today. Nafia Lee, who is the Going Home Coalition Manager for the Arc of Illinois, and John Porter, who is a longtime self-advocate. John has his experiences to share, and they're going to be talking about an event that is coming up this week that everybody can join in on. Welcome to both of you this afternoon.
Thank you, Vicki.
Thanks.
Why don't we start with you, John, and just introduce yourself to the listeners and let them know who you are, where you live, and
I'm a self-advocate. I live in Pontiac, and been living here for living around here almost about a year and a half.
Okay, and Nafia, how about you?
My name is Nafia Lee, and I am, again, as Vicki mentioned, I'm with the Going Home Coalition, and I live in Oak Brook, Illinois, so just west of the city of Chicago. And I've been here, I just moved back home in July of 2018, so just been a little back here in Illinois for the last 2 years.
Almost. And where did you come from before that?
Well, I previously lived in Alabama because my then husband and I lived there after we got married, but I am now no longer married to him. I'm separated, so I moved back home, and I'm with my son here with my mom.
Okay, very good. So let's start by telling everybody a little bit about what they need to know about the Going Home Coalition. That's been around for a little while now. And then also let's talk more specifically about the event that you have planned.
Yeah, definitely. I'll give you like a really quick spiel to those that are maybe a little bit unfamiliar, maybe know a little bit about the Going Home Coalition. So the Going Home Coalition is a group of self-advocates, family members, community service providers, and other allies that believe in true person-centered support services for people with disabilities. So we are talking about a large group of our community, disabled and non-disabled people, who think that we need to, here in Illinois, move from supporting and making investments in institutions and instead moving that funding and rebalancing the state budget to favor community-based services. And that can be in the form of very many things, right? That can be the form of employment opportunities in the community. That can mean investment in opportunities in transit, opportunities for people to live in their own places of residences, and really participate in the life and breadth of all that is offered in the community.
That was a very good summary, I would say. Thank you for that. So yeah. What event are you planning for this week that you would like to inform the listeners about?
So this Thursday at 11 o'clock, we'll be hosting our first ever virtual rally. This is a historic event because, of course, we are in the middle of what is an extremely dangerous pandemic of coronavirus. A lot of people have obviously listened to the news. They call it COVID-19 is the medical term you'll hear on the news. And, we're really excited because while we're unable to visit everybody with our legislators in Springfield and, of course, the governor's office and the administration, we are now able to open this registration up to potentially 1,000 people if they're interested in registering. So it's going to be a wider audience. It's going to mean access for more people in the community. And frankly, the reach is really what drew us to moving this online. This is something that the Going Home Coalition has every year. There's partners across the state, all of the Centers for Independent Living, the partners within our sister agencies, the community service providers, and frankly, allies. The biggest important reason why we wanted to continue having this event, but we had to move it to the Zoom platform, was because this is too important of a time for the disability rights movement to falter. We need to be able to lift one another up, and I think this Advocacy Day being held online is going to be just the way to do that.
And just given the news that has happened this week regarding folks who are living in institutional care, it seems to me that it's more important than ever and that everybody needs to be concerned about that situation for not only folks with disabilities, but also parents who are living in nursing homes and isolated from the community. It can be really dangerous. This is an event, though, that has typically been done in person in Springfield people wearing T-shirts that are in visiting their legislator. So how is this going to work differently?
So this year it's going to be really unique. We're still going to have folks, instead of having our same color T-shirts from, you know, every year, we have the same logo with the Going Home Coalition on it, and then we have like a message this year. You know, we really felt like it was more important to guide our resources to providing training and resources. So one of the things that is different is that we're actually going to be featuring some of our self-advocates across the state speaking the same way that we would in a podium. However, you're going to see everybody on a Zoom meeting online. So you're going to get a chance to actually hear from advocates when we unmute the advocates throughout the state to be able to engage with very important discussions on the Going Home Coalition's advocacy priorities. I'm not sure if you're aware, Vicki, but we have four key priorities that we always talk about whenever we're in meetings with legislators. And they are, one, that we are, the coalition would like to see leaders in Illinois increase funding to better support all people with diverse needs. That can be done through an active effort to collect data about the cost of services, acuity of support, and the needs of people with disabilities. Our other key advocacy priority is the call to eliminate wait lists for services. Of course, there's been lots of media coverage about the PUNS list and the need to reduce the wait and also, frankly, just eliminate a wait ultimately. We also believe in the education of people who live in the developmental centers across the state and provide opportunities for informed choice and peer-led exposure about the fact that they have the option to live in the community and also actively support those who want to transition to the community. And of course, finally, our final priority, which really encompasses all three of these, is that we want to rebalance the state budget and frankly shift the state funding so that we are supporting and investing dollars in community-based services and not in segregated state institutions. So those are just a really quick brief of our advocacy priorities. We're really focused in on spreading the message, we are essential. Just like the ARC of the United States has launched its branding opportunity, really just taking the words "we are essential" and creating an entire branding campaign, the Going Home Coalition is mirroring that same language when we're speaking with our legislators this year. So we've got four legislators that will be speaking separately with their remarks. We have one state representative that will be introducing our panel of advocates, and we're just really excited about providing the same engagement opportunity across the state with advocates, being able to face their legislators directly. However, we'll just be moving it to a Zoom meeting instead this year. So it's really the only big difference.
Yeah. And I understand that you had a training session for self-advocates to learn how to do Zoom, or is that still going to happen prior to this meeting?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've actually engaged in, I would say, what we refer to as a series of training webinars. Last week we did, and of course, Vicki, the good thing is that if listeners weren't able to make it to those, we actually have them recorded, and I will make sure that I send that information along to Vicki so those that were able to join in can definitely go back to the recording and listen.
Yeah, that would be helpful, and I will put those link to that on my Facebook page for Disability Beat so that folks can get to it. And I'm sure
great.
You said that there's a registration, so people need to sign up to participate in this, yes?
Absolutely. So if you guys want to, you want to head over to the ARC of Illinois' website. The website is thearcofil.org, and that will take you to the main page, and there's actually a link where you can access our events that are coming up. It's actually at the very top of our the very top of our website. There's a little tab. It says it actually gives you an events page. It's at the very top of the webpage. It says upcoming events, and there's a link to the SALSA registration actually for our event on the 14th. It's listed as the 7th annual Going Home Advocacy Day. So again, that links to our registration page, and you can put your information in. And once you do that, you'll receive a Zoom invitation for the meeting, and you will be able to access the meeting on Thursday at 11.
Great. So, John, I understand that you're going to be talking at this meeting, at the rally.
Yes, I will.
Can you tell us what you're going to say?
Well, I can tell you right off the bat,
Vicki. Let's see. Yeah, I can tell you in just a second, but that, I can tell you. Here it is. Hi, I'm John Porter. I'm from Springfield and currently live in Pontiac. I am here to tell you about my experience living in a state institution that is no longer open. Howe Developmental Center. I lived at Howe Developmental Center from 2003 to 2009. Staff at Howe determined which shows I could watch on TV and when I could take a shower and when I could eat my meals. These are all rights everyone has, but I did not. When you live in the same room as multiple people, you have no privacy. If we had the coronavirus then, I would have gotten sick easily. I'm here to call on our leaders to shift funding from state institutions and services in the community. We have to keep legislators and other leaders accountable for what happens to people with disabilities in a very broken system. We have some people who receive services through a Medicaid waiver and other people who have no way to pay for services that they need due to the long wait. Our PUNS wait list is dangerously long, and this makes me think, when will we be a community first state? People with disabilities who live in places like institutions are at risk of getting the coronavirus because they cannot socially distance safely themselves. Staff have and will continue to get sick too. It is time to take this pandemic seriously. It is time to take rights of all people with disabilities serious. Fund community integration now. Thank you.
Thank you, John. That is a very powerful message, and I certainly hope that all the legislators are able to hear that and understand how important it is.
I wish they would, too.
There's a lot of discussion, I know, about the cost of moving to community. Nafia, can you talk a little bit about the message that the coalition gives to the legislators about cost?
Absolutely. One key thing that we constantly bring up over in our meetings with legislators is, frankly, that the math is the most important. In addition to the fact that we are spending way more in institutional care in Illinois than we are in the financial support we give to community-based services, we're also got to look at it from the perspective of cost of return on investment. Excuse me, the return on investment, frankly, in institutional care in this state specifically is kind of non-existent. There is no guarantee that us spending what is close to $300,000 per person per year to house one person with a developmental disability or intellectual disability at one of the state centers, when we could actually house somewhere between $35,000 to even $40,000 each year for one person to reside in the community. That being said, not only is it a financially and fiscally responsible thing for taxpayers, it's also important from the perspective of long-term what we refer to as satisfaction rates, right? So one of the things that has been done, and, you know, Vicki knows this and all of our advocates know this, there are several studies that have been done following the moving and closures of folks that used to live in state-operated developmental centers that have since closed. Specifically, Dr. Tamar Heller of UIC, I know, is one such professional who actually led this through the University of Illinois Institute on Disability. And one of the things that they found in the research was that continuously folks have reported that their quality of life was higher, their satisfaction with their life was greater. And it is proven through data and through, science, frankly, you know, when you're actually going through this data and collecting this information over years and years following transition to the community, how important it is to be investing in the community and not towards institutional care. So we really just, you know, constantly remind legislators this is a numbers game. Yes, it is very much a fiscally wise decision to move from institutional care to community-based services, but it is equally important to recognize that quality of life and quality of the care that someone receives in the community could very well, let's be honest, could be very well a much better quality of life than the one they're living,
John can speak, amen, John, you can speak directly to that. How is your life different now than when you lived in that institution in Howe?
Well, I'm able to go to different places in the community, not now, right now, because of the virus.
Right.
COVID-19. But I'm able to do stuff. I have a TV. I can watch my own TV. I have my own room. I live in an apartment setting, so I have whatever I want in my room, and, you know, I can go walk out in the community if I want to, so I can do a lot of things.
Yeah, you can live life like a regular person, right?
And that's, I feel bad for the people that are institutions.
Yeah, I know you're a strong advocate, have been for a long time. So I look forward to hearing you talk on the meeting on Thursday. I think it's going to be a great event, and who knows, it might be the new way of doing things from this point forward. So, Nafia, why don't we one more time give the information about where people can go to and where they can get the online registration and so forth. We'll put that on the Disability Beat Facebook page, but hearing it one more time would not hurt.
Yes, absolutely. So for our listeners, if you would like to log on to the ARC of ILTHEARCOFIL.org, and you see at the top of the screen, there's a drop-down menu that says events. You're going to want to click on upcoming events. That will take you to a page where you're going to scroll maybe just couple of space bars down. You will see 7th Annual Going Home Advocacy Day. Once you click on that link, it'll take you right to the registration page. And once you register, you're going to receive an invite confirming your registration. And then following your confirmation on Wednesday, you're going to receive by Wednesday a Zoom invitation for the actual event. So thank you all for listening to us, and really appreciate, Vicki even inviting us on the station today.
Absolutely. How long do you anticipate this event will take?
This event's going to start at 11 o'clock in the morning. If folks do want to listen to John speak, he's going to be on a press conference on that event, and that will be held at 10 o'clock that morning. So folks that want to tune in, just do reach out. I'll share my contact information with Vicki, so that you are able to listen to John's remarks, because they will be separate from the rally. The press conference is at 10 a.m. for the media. We have the rally starting at 11, and all of the event will be done by 2 p.m. So we have breaks in between. We've got music. We've got other public officials speaking as well. So there'll be plenty of time to take those lunch breaks and those bathroom breaks and dance party and anything you could think of. We're going to have intermittently for this long event.
Sounds great. And John, I'm going to give you the last word on this topic today. What if you wanted the legislators and people in the community who aren't familiar with disability issues, what is the one thing that you want them to remember from this rally day?
That the disability community means business, and we want community living, not institutional living.
Very important. Thank you so much for joining me today. Nafia Lee and John Porter, thank you so much.
Thank you.
No, I stand my ground. Won't be turned around. And I'll keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my ground. And I won't back down. Yeah.
pushing me around.